بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters and elders, the status of a person is an indicator of his or her importance in society. Teachers should have the highest status, and the fact that they don't is an indicator of the foolishness of modern society's failure to recognize the importance of those who shape their future. In Sweden, Norway, and some other Scandinavian countries, teachers are the people with the highest status. They are the highest paid, and out of them, surprisingly perhaps for some of you, primary school teachers are paid more than anybody else, because they know where the shaping of humanity starts, and they want the best people there. And obviously the general quality of life in those countries is proof and evidence that their priorities are correct. In societies that have formal social structures, for example like Bhutan, Sri Lanka, both are Buddhist, in the Hindu caste system in India, even in countries like UK, which believe it or not is a theocratic state, because the head of state is the Queen of England, and the Queen of England is the head of the church as well. She is the head of the Anglican Church. In such countries and such societies, priests have the highest status. In Bhutan, for example, children passing a priest in the street are required to make sajda 3 times at the feet of the priest. So if there are 2 priests, then they will stand and the children will make sujood to the 1 3 times, then they will move to the next one and make sujood 3 times. In Colombo Airport in Sri Lanka, there is a special cordoned off area in the main concourse with white upholstered sofas and a sign that reads "For religious scholars only." So I was passing through and I asked a friend of mine, can I go sit there? He said, you can if you want to experience the fastest evacuation in history. He said, by religious scholars, they mean Buddhist priests only, nobody else. We see the same situation with priests in all societies, even in history. Take the ancient Egyptians, Romans, Greeks, Persians, Indians, or any other ancient society for that matter. The highest status was given to those whose only purpose in life was to worship God. Now think about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this honor not to a priestly class, but to all humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the reason He created us was to worship Him alone, for no other reason, because only He is worthy of worship. The worth of something depends on how well it fulfills the purpose of its creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us why He created us, human beings. He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created I have not created the jinn and the humans except that they should worship me. I ask myself, and I request you to ask yourself, when you stand in salah, do I realize that I am especially privileged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me for this and created me for this? Do I consider salah to be a great honor bestowed upon me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do I consider it a burden to be discharged, an onerous duty to be performed? People sometimes ask how they can get khushu, concentration in salah. I believe it begins with reminding ourselves about what we are doing and for whom we are doing it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us to clean toilets. Purpose of our creation could have been to clean toilets or to correct garbage. And if we fulfill that purpose honestly and sincerely by riding honey wagons or garbage trucks all our lives, we could have gotten Jannah. But would that have been something to feel happy about? Now, if you think I'm exaggerating, I will tell you a story which happened, and I have my eyewitness, my brother Hashmat, who's sitting at the back there. He was in the same place. He's eyewitness to this. When I used to live here in America in 1997-98, we went to a Tabligh Ijtema in Baltimore. And this was in a shopping mall which hadn't opened yet. So there was these huge sheds, and the whole Ijtema was in that. But obviously, because it was a shopping mall, they didn't have indoor toilets. So outside, they had a whole line of 30-40 portable toilets. Now, many of you are familiar with the Tabligh tours. So you know that after Fajr, there is a bayan, which is probably the most difficult thing to sit through because you're very sleepy at that time and so on, but you are sitting through that bayan. And usually they make that bayan very long, so it's very painful, but you know, you sit there. And the first thing that people do after that bayan is over, they head for the toilet, because that's the topmost priority. So Hashmat Bhai was there, I was there, we also headed for the toilet. And there's a long line. And the toilets are all full. We are all standing in a long line and, you know, waiting for people to get out. And at that time, a tanker truck drove in. And it was driven by a white American man, and there was a white American woman sitting with him. And I'm saying this for a reason. Who were they? They had come to clean the toilets. So as soon as the toilets were empty, they told us, stand outside. And then they put the hose in and they sucked up all the stuff. That's why it's called a honey wagon, right? They sucked up all the stuff and then they flushed it all out and they washed it and whatnot. So I asked one of my Desi brothers who was standing next to me, I asked him, citizenship hai? I said, do you have a citizenship, US? He said, nahi, I don't have one. I said, chahiye, you want it? He said, sure, of course, that's why I'm here. So I said, how about if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will give you citizenship if you, with the condition that you will drive one of these trucks and you will clean toilets for your entire working life in America. Are you ready? He said, no. I said, those two, they are white, they are American, they are born citizens. They are cleaning your toilets. Halal job. There's nothing haram about it. It has dignity. If you don't think it has dignity, go into a dirty toilet. But is that something that you and I would like to do? Allah didn't create us for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship Him. So what is our approach? I'm not talking about the faraid of salah and the arkan of salah. No. I'm talking about, you haven't even started praying yet. I'm talking about when you come and stand on the musalla. When I stand on the musalla, what's in my heart? Am I conscious of what I am doing? Do you ask myself this question? Ya Allah, you could have chosen anybody. You don't need my worship. You do not need my worship. But you chose me. And you allowed me. And you made the conditions conducive for me to come and stand before you
and you taught me what to do. And the crowning glory of it is you, when I speak in that salah, you didn't leave me to invent some beautiful poetry. You gave me your word to recite. What do we recite in salah? Kalamullah. We don't recite poetry of this poet or that poet or your own thing or, you know, no. We recite Kalamullah. One is the honor of being permitted to worship Him, Jalla Jalal. And to add to that honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the words and said, recite this. And in those words which He gave us to recite, how does it begin? What are the conditional words without which the salah is invalid? It begins with Allahu Akbar. Reminds us there is nobody else who has any power, any authority, any glory, any majesty other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. And then it says, Alhamdulillah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah reminds us, I am the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names. How many names He has, we do not know. We know 99, we know 100 of them. We don't know that they are the only ones He has. He could have chosen anything. But He chose to remind us, to begin our salah by reminding us of His mercy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The peak of mercy, and that peak which never has a decline, which goes on forever. Rahman and Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Allah reminded us to thank Him. All praise and all thanks is for the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And who is He? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Two reminders, right then and there. And then, Maliki Yawmiddin. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Imagine for somebody, may Allah make us among them. Imagine for somebody whose heart is filled with taqwa, who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was reciting Suratul Fatiha, and if instead of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, if instead of this, before Maliki Yawmiddin, if there was Al-Qahhar wal-Jabbar, Al-Muntaqim wal-Aziz, which are also the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Suratul Fatiha was Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Al-Qahhar wal-Jabbar, Al-Muntaqim wal-Aziz, Maliki Yawmiddin, what would happen to somebody who had taqwa in his heart? What would happen to somebody who's connected with Allah? He would drop dead. He would not be able to proceed, because who am I going to go before? Who will I be presented before on the day of judgment? I will be presented before Al-Qahhar, Wal-Jabbar, Wal-Muntaqim, Wal-Aziz. But my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu did not do that. My Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu reminded us of His mercy. Why? Why mercy? Why not justice? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Because justice means good for good, bad for bad. You do some good, you get rewarded. You do some bad, you get punished. This is justice. You cannot complain. You cannot complain.
If you got rewarded for good and if you got punished for evil, you cannot complain. That is justice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not remind us about His justice. He reminded us about His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is good for evil. Even though we commit sin, Allah says, I am merciful. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Ya Allah, on the day of judgment, you are coming before Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Don't worry. Ya Allah, I will be presented before you. Maliki Yawmiddin. Yes. But who is Maliki Yawmiddin? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The one who forgives. The one whose mercy has no boundary. The one whose mercy is forever at the peak is the one before whom you will be presented. So, insha'Allahul Musta'an, as long as you do not commit shirk, as long as you worship only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have complete and total faith that insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself, when you think of all this, remind yourself of this before we go into Salah in a few minutes from now. When you stand on the Musalla, ask yourself, where am I standing? Who am I standing before? Who am I going to worship? Before you begin your Salah. Salah is not a physical movement, it's not yoga, it's not bending down and standing up for your digestion. It is to bring this whole environment, to bring this whole feeling of where I am standing, so that we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. That is the meaning of establishing Salah. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wherever He mentioned in the Quran, He said, Iqamati Salah, Aqimu Salah. Unfortunately, at least in the English translation, it is always translated as perform Salah. Allah didn't tell us to perform Salah. Allah didn't tell us. The problem with us is we perform Salah, we make Salah, we do Salah, we read Salah. Nobody establishes Salah. Let's change our wording. There is a reason why Allah used a particular word. Every single word in the Quran, there is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu Salah. Allah was not short of words. It's not as if Allah didn't know what is the meaning, what is the word for perform. So anyway, let me just say Aqimu Salah. No. There is a reason. Iqamati Salah means something. It has a huge meaning. But if we are not even going to use the word establishing Salah, instead of that we keep saying perform, perform. Is it a drama? Is it a play? You are acting, you are performing. That's why there's no result, because you're performing. It's all make-believe. Instead of performing, if you and I were establishing Salah, you would be seeing results. Let me leave you with that thought. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, I request you to reflect on the meaning of the word establish. What is the meaning of establishing Salah? To establish something means to make it the central factor in all our decision making. If I wanted to establish good health for myself in my life, then I will take every decision based on whether it is good for my health or not. All that I eat or drink, what I do in terms of exercise, how I sit, how I stand, where I sleep, how many hours I sleep, where I go, where I don't go, everything, I will judge it according to whether it helps me to establish good health in my life or not. So also if I'm in university, for example, lots of young people here, with the intention of gaining knowledge, to establish myself in my field, then I will judge all the choices that I have in university, all the frat clubs, all the stuff that happens, I will judge all of that against that criterion, which is to gain knowledge, to establish myself in my career, in my field. And I will not get involved in anything that does not help me to establish myself in my field or which may interfere in my focus and concentration to gain knowledge. If I want to establish myself in my marriage so that my spouse and I are happy and contented with each other, then every decision that both of us will take will be based on whether it is good for our marriage or not. And I do this because I understand the benefit of what I am trying to establish in my life. It is that understanding and my conviction that it is best for me which enables me to take even difficult decisions and to stay on track in the face of all kinds of distractions and temptations. So the question to ask ourselves is, what is the benefit of establishing salah? Why must I do it? I'm not talking about the, you know, if I don't do that, I will be punished. No, I'm saying let us look at it from this worldly life. What is the benefit of establishing salah in this life as well as the akhirah? Now, unless we understand how salah helps us in this life and how it is the most valuable resource we have, we will never be able to establish salah in our lives. And we will never benefit from it the way we can and should. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned final success. And remember, the race is decided only at the end. Allah said, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. In this ayat of Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, everyone will taste death. And only on the day of judgment will you be paid your wages in full. And whoever on that day is moved away, is removed from the fire and admitted into Jannah, indeed only that person is successful. Faqad faz. And then Allah said, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is only the enjoyment of deception. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Jannah and we ask Him for freedom from the fire. My brothers and sisters, the race is decided only at the end. And it is only the one who owns the race who makes the rules. You and I are running the race. We don't own the race. Allah owns the race. And Allah makes the rules. The rules are not made by you and me. No matter what anybody tells us are the criteria of winning or losing in this world, none of that applies. What Allah tells us applies because He is the owner of the race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that winners and losers will be decided not by net worth on Wall Street or Nasdaq or by temporal authority and power, but by whether we get Jannah or the other place. There is no living person today who has more net worth or temporal authority together than had Ramesses IV, the Pharaoh of Musa. He had both. He had wealth and he had power. Absolute ruler. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what happened to him. This world is deception. About what will get us freedom from the fire and entry into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very clearly in the ayat which we hear in every Jummah, including this one. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. Allah said, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always speak the truth. He will direct you, if you do this, then Allah will direct you to doing righteous deeds, good deeds, and will forgive your sins.
And whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, only that person has achieved final success. فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. How do we get freedom from the fire and entry into Jannah? Three things. Having taqwa, speaking the truth, and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, more about that next Jummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah protect you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you in His special care. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave you the honor of worshipping you, enable you to worship Him in a way that pleases Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your worship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire you to ask and make du'as that He wants you to make and which He wants to give you. Especially may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you that sa'ah in this day of Jumu'ah where He accepts du'as, and in that sa'ah may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the du'as to make which He will accept you and show you that. So make those du'as. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire you to send lots and lots and lots of salat and salam on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, especially because today is Jumu'ah and there is special reward in doing that. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you from means and sources that you cannot imagine. I ask Allah to give you whatever you ask Him with khair and afiyah, and then to add to that from His generosity and grace, so that you are absolutely delighted and you are absolutely surprised and you are hugely, hugely thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا فَقْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. رَبَّنَا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، عدوا يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا السلام.